Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Well, what drives an investment decision? Well, according to the folks at Contigo, it depends on whether or not you as an investor want certain things or need certain things. Want, meaning you're looking for possible opportunities to actually grow your portfolio and see growth either from a sector or a company, or a need perhaps to avoid certain risks, thus indicating that there might be a few more nerves in your investment decision, perhaps a sense of defensiveness. Well, according to Contigo's model, there are signs that investor sentiment is starting to be driven more by needs than wants, and thus could actually have some warning signs, especially when it comes to U.S. markets. Well, what will that mean for Asian markets overall? Well, to discuss this model and what they're tracking, we're joined today by Contigo's Olivier Deasser. He's the group's head of applied research for the Asia-Pacific region, to help us understand this model, what they're seeing, and what implications this has for investors across markets, not just in the U.S., but also here in the region. Mr. Deasser, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe and good health during these times. And welcome back to the show, sir. Good Monday afternoon to you.
Thanks for having me. Thank you. So good to be back.
Great. So, Olivier, let's take a step back and look at Contigo's model first, where you look at a gauge of 8 different investing styles and what investors want to get exposure to against investors' sentiment driven by needs to hedge against risk, perhaps driven more by fear and caution. At least that's what I'm understanding. But how does Contigo gauge investor want drivers and investor need drivers? I mean, what information goes into determining these, first and foremost?
So the thing about investing is that, you know, investors will read the papers, read all the financial information they can get, and come up with a forecast. But often that forecast is adjusted for sentiment, because if they're very bearish, if they keep hearing negative news in the market, they might revise this up or down, right? So we wanted to develop a sentiment indicator that tracks how people feel. And the two kinds of sides of that coin, as you mentioned earlier, are things that they want to get exposures to and things that they need to get exposure to from time to time. And risk is, or volatility is one of those need things. In other words, when risk is low, then more people need to take on risk because they need to maintain a certain level of risk to get the rewards that they want. When conversely, when risk goes up, then they certainly have to de-risk the portfolio because they have too much risk. So that's a need kind of stimulus. And the want stimulus is, okay, once they've done that, what do they actually buy in terms of styles? Do they buy small caps or large caps? Do they buy highly leveraged companies or companies with a lot of positive cash flow and so on and so forth? Mm-hmm. So we look at both of these and try to figure out what is the want and the strength of the want and the strength of the need, and are these two adding up to a positive or a negative sentiment?
All right. So you've noted that investor appetite recently has been driven more by need or risk management necessity, for lack of a better term, or rather than wants. Why do you think this has happened? What do you think's triggered the seeming risk or caution-driven appetite? And specifically, how are you seeing this play out based on the two risk drivers that Contigo uses to gauge needs-based investment appetite?
So what we've seen since really about May, after the so-called Yellen put, you know, when Treasury Yellen said that the Fed might have to raise rates earlier than expected, we had a second bout of inflation tantrum in the market. But since then, volatility across all major markets has slowly declined continuously. And now a lot of them, including the U.S., are, for example, below their long-term median rates. So when volatility drops, people get more positive. So we saw our overall sentiment indicator showing signs that people are bullish both in Asia-Pacific and in the U.S. And in Europe. But when we looked at our indicator for just the want side, actually what are they buying for this bullish sentiment, we saw that they're actually buying very defensive stocks. They're buying sectors that might protect them from the downside risk. So the want side was not really as bullish as the need side. And what we're seeing now, that volatility is starting to rise again for the last few days, at least since the beginning of this month, really, is that the two lines are coming back together again and are pointing downwards. So we may see a turn in sentiment now as the need is also pointing down and the wants have been pointing down for some time.
Right. And in fact, as you mentioned that, I'm looking at the S&P 500 VIX index just to track this, Olivier. I think it's up by about 8% in today's session also. And we're seeing this volatility or uncertainty starting to track higher once again. This gauge that you've indicated tracks U.S. market sentiment for the most part. Why would this be important, though, for Asian markets, Olivier? Is there a possibility of contagion, for lack of a better term? Or I guess I just want to help our listeners understand why these trends or these need-driven trends out in U.S. markets would matter for Asian markets or markets closer to home here?
So we've actually developed these indicators for all 9 markets we follow.
Okay.
So we have one for Asia-Pac ex Japan, we have one for Japan, we have one for China, for example. And they've been pretty much saying the same thing. But if you look at Asia ex Japan, we most of the debt that corporates have in Asia ex Japan is dominated in U.S. dollars. So what happens to U.S. interest rates is very important for this region. And that's been kind of the source of the inflation tantrum in February and again in May. And it's really the driver right now for investor sentiment is where are U.S. interest rates going, right? So we do look at the U.S. and Asia-Pac sentiment indicators, and in the last 12 months or so, the correlation between them has been quite high. So we know that there is a link there, and interest rates, U.S. interest rates is definitely that link.
All right. Do you think there might be a lag, though, between U.S. market sentiment and Asian markets, or are they pretty much moving in lockstep based on what you're seeing?
There's definitely a bit of a lag due to the structure of both markets. For example, Asian ex-Japan market doesn't have a big tech component like the U.S. You know, the FANG are kind of a dominating part of the U.S. market, so that drives a lot of the sentiment. Whereas in Asia, financial sector tends to be the biggest, financial and real estate tends to be the biggest component of the index out here. And also people have another play out here, which is real estate, which is a much bigger investment play than it is maybe in the U.S. for retail investors, at least.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Mr. Olivier Dessel, the head of applied research for the Asia-Pacific region at Contigo here on Money FM 89.3. We're talking about the recent model that shows that investors might be driven by more of a need to manage risk and de-risk rather than wants or looking for actual investment opportunities. Now, Olivier, this gauge, though, does this basically track institutional investor sentiment, mostly turning more cautious or driven by a need to de-risk? I mean, and if so, what would this mean, though, for the average retail investor?
Yes, admittedly, these factors are more used by institutional investors, right? Retail investors don't really think in terms of styles like momentum, leverage, value, growth, and mm-hmm. so on and so forth. So obviously, this distracts more the institutionalized investor. And if you think about the U.S. market, it's highly institutionalized, so is developed Europe. Asia ex Japan, a little bit less. You've got a mixture of markets like Singapore and Hong Kong, which have a fair amount of institutional investors in it. But the others are all dominated by retail investors. And that's kind of a little bit of what creates the lag, which means that the correlation between the two, between Asia ex Japan and U.S., tells us that even though you may have much more of a retail investor presence in Asia ex Japan, they do look at what's happening in the U.S. They do look at what institutions are doing. And institutions are about to turn slightly more cautious than they were previously, and that could affect the funds flow for them.
Mm-hmm. Olivia, we spent a bit of time talking about volatility, whether you use this model or whether you use the VIX index for the S&P 500 to really track what some might even call a fear gauge. I might be using too strong of a word, right, but that has been used as parlance in the markets. But can you talk to our listeners about why volatility and uncertainty matters for investors? Why is it important to track some of these issues and some of these gauges, and what can investors do with this information to better protect their portfolios?
So volatility estimates are not just there to try to predict what risk level we are on, but they're also used to compute your potential losses. In case you're wrong, you have this investment, you bet, you think you're going to get returns. What is the probability, how big is the probability that I might lose some or all of my money? And if I do, how much of it will I lose? So measures of risks are used to determine both of these outcomes. And when volatility is low, obviously the probability of you losing money is low. And in case it happens, the estimate of the loss when that happens is also low. So that's also driving kind of a more risk-tolerant attitude, because if you're only going to lose about 1.6% of your money in the next 3 days, if you're wrong, that's worth doing. But if I told you you would probably have maybe a 10% chance of losing at least 5% of your money, maybe that's too much for you. So risk tolerance comes in terms of deciding whether the risk or the return is worth the risk here for you from a loss point of view.
And very quickly, Olivier, you're based on the model that you're seeing right now, how is this guiding your outlook now for the markets in the second half? Talk to us about whether or not this means more speed bumps ahead, more uncertainty, or if you think that markets will continue to sail in smooth waters as some of the more optimistic people might actually still argue at this point.
I think we're probably looking at more choppy waters ahead. So we've had now a decline in volatility since pretty much November when the vaccination news came out. It's been steadily declining. We had a little bump in February during the inflation tantrum, but everything went back down to almost pre-pandemic lows recently. And that's driven part of the boom or the risk tolerance that we saw in the market in the last few months, which created all these new historical highs for markets. But risk is quite low now. It's only got one way to go from here, which is back up. And we're seeing that already this month. We're seeing an uptick in volatility this month, which could continue. We're still having local lockdowns because of the Delta variant. There could be other variants in the future. We still have winter to go through again and see how that goes. It's not going so well in Australia right now, so that may be an indication of where we're going. Vaccination drives are going well in some parts of the world, but very badly in others, and are kind of stagnating in the middle. So we still have a lot of question marks. COVID is still going to impact this market mood and market volatility for quite some time. So from these levels, I don't see how we could go much lower in terms of volatility. We're more likely to go up, which means this will unnerve investors a little bit more.
All right. Perhaps a few more speed bumps and pockets of turbulence for markets in the coming months because of this persistent COVID-19 question that has also mutated into different variants, right? Olivia Desse, Head of Applied Research for the Asia-Pacific region at Contigo, thank you so much for joining us today on Money FM 88.3 to talk about your outlook on engaging investor needs versus wants. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these times. We look forward to next time we can have you back on the show. Meantime, do stay safe and have a good Monday evening ahead, sir.
Thank you. You too.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.